Good morning. I wanted to do a quick little update of what my weekend was like. It is now Monday morning and I had 2 days on my liquid GAPS fast and I feel amazing. So just to let you know how I am feeling, just in 2 days of being on my liquid GAPS fast, my bloating is down. I have lost 3 pounds. And my energy is, I feel so much more energetic and I feel good. And when I get up in the morning, I'm now really just able to hop out of the bed and just get moving right away. So just after 2 days, and I'm just feeling really positive and cleansed out. Just real quickly, just kind of remind me of something. There's another naturopath, and she was saying that, you know, bowel movements are a thing of joy or bring life joy or something like that. And I laughed. I thought, I don't know if they bring me joy, but boy, when you have a good one, it sure does make you feel great. So sorry if that upsets you, but you know, when you're in the field that I am, which is, you know, a holistic health specialist, traditional naturopath, all, you know, herbalist and GAPS practitioner and doing all the things, I don't know, bowels are just a common conversation at this point. So it's, you know, everybody tells me about their bowel movements. So sorry if that offended you at all, but hopefully it doesn't. I mean, hopefully you know where this is coming from. So that doesn't surprise you anyway. But so, you know, everything is moving beautifully and I'm just feeling, just great after 2 days. So what I've decided to do today, because today I was going to go ahead and get started and move into stage one of GAPS. And the difference between, say, the liquid fast and stage one specifically is really adding in meats and vegetables, starting to eat, bring in solids. And that's really it. I mean, the stage one really only lasts about 1 to 3 days at the most. Because it's just really about getting everything, you know, again, more cleaning out, but there's not a lot of food in it. So, you know, it can cause constipation and things like that. But then again, that's why you have your enemas. So anyway, usually it's 1 to 3 days. It just all depends. As long as the food that's, you know, someone is eating is tolerable, right? And usually it is, you know, because it's a very, very mild beginning. But I've decided I'm going to kind of do a modified because I've been feeling so good on the liquid GAPS fast and I'm not too hungry at all. Because every time I get hungry, I just have another cup of meat stock. I'm just listening to the birds right now. So getting the morning sun time. So I thought what I'll do though is I'd like to continue with the liquid fast at least through the day. And then, so drinking the fermented brine, the fermented drinks, having the meat stock with just the liquid stock only, and herbal teas and then green juices and so forth. And then the evening for dinner, and I have my dinner pretty early, I try not to eat past 6, meaning I want to be done with my meal by 6. And the reason for that is I like to give myself, and actually it's really beneficial, to give yourself at least, I say 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours of, you know, time before you go to bed, between eating and going to bed. Especially for heavy food. Now, sometimes if I am still like a little hungry, I may have a little bowl of my homemade yogurt or, you know, my cultured cream with a little bit of honey or what have you, you know. But I try definitely to not eat an hour before bedtime. But I prefer to be done by my food by 6 and then I go to bed at 9. And then I, of course, get up at 4. So, not of course, but I think I told you that yesterday. So anyway, so I think I'm going to modify it and have my later meal, my meal. I'll have one meal where I'll add in to my stock the meats and vegetables from it. And I made a meat shank, a beef shank stock, which is yummy. And so I'll add the meat and the vegetables, and that'll be for my evening meal time. And then the rest of the day, I think I'll do liquids. And I think I'll continue that until I'm ready, till my body tells me, okay, I'm ready to eat more throughout the day. And we'll see how that goes. And I will continue to do my enema. And at least once a day for right now, and my detox bath, and my prayers and my meditation. So yesterday, what happened yesterday? This weekend's been really good. I haven't done a lot of physical activity because being on the liquid fast, I'm not tired or a lack energy in that sense, like, oh my gosh, I'm dragging. Like I said, I feel better. I feel great. But, you know, I also don't want to overdo it, right? So I do what, you know, mild work, whatever my body feels like. And my body just felt like maybe doing some walking. So I did some walking. And of course, I did my yoga, my gentle yoga, meditations, breath work that I mentioned. And the breath work that I did, I thought I'd share that with you, it's called circular breathing. Well, there's different types of breathing techniques that are called circular breathing. This is one type that's called circular breathing or continuous breath. And so what you do with it is it's mouth breathing. So typically you want to breathe through your nose, right? I'll talk about that another time, but you typically want to breathe through your nose. And so, but in this particular case, this is mouth breathing. And you're not breathing fast, you know, through your mouth, but you're just breathing continuously. You're inhaling and exhaling without pausing in between. A lot of times, if you notice when you breathe, you may find that when you take an inhale, between your inhale and your exhale, you take a slight pause. And you may notice that you do that. So this, there is no pause. It's just one breath. And it's called circular breathing or continuous breathing because you're thinking about like you're breathing in this circle. And as I do this breath, I actually imagine it's like my breath going up the clock, like inhaling up the clock and then exhaling down the clock and up the clock and down the clock. And when you breathe in this way, I'm not quite sure what the reasoning is. I'd have to like to research this a little bit more as I delve deeper into the breath work, variations of different types of breath work and why certain breath works do certain things. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just opening up the throat. And so what happens is that a lot of emotions and so forth come this way, right? Can come forward in breathing this way. And I think a lot of the reasons why that is that accessing more emotions or accessing, I guess, just more emotional connection is it's almost the same way that singing does. You know, one of the things, you know, you as a singer, you know, they say speaking is the voice of the, you know, of the head, right? But singing is the voice of the soul. And, you know, when you're opening your mouth and you're taking inhale and you're exhaling and you're singing a note and your throat is open and your mouth is open, it is such a vulnerable place to be, right? I mean, because you're making this sound and it's just out there, you know? But the thing is, everything is open. Everything is open. And the deep breathing and the openness of the throat, I think, just really brings up, allows the emotions to come up and come out. And I think it's the same way with this breathing. So the way you do this circular breathing, if it's something you want to try, and not everyone, this isn't recommended for everyone to try. And again, I'm not recommending it. This is not medical advice. This is none of that. This is all just for entertainment and educational purposes only. So, but there are some folks that probably shouldn't try doing the circular breathing. Folks that may have anxiety are diagnosed, and again, I don't like to use the word diagnosed. But if you have been diagnosed, schizophrenia or bipolar or so forth. But if you know everything is good and you feel like, yeah, you know, I'm not doing too badly. All right. Also, maybe some heart problems. I'm trying to remember all the disclaimers here. The heart problems, bipolar, schizophrenia, anxiety, right? Hypertension, so forth. So if you're in, you know, good health, and it's not major, but if you're in good health, then try it or not. Right? This is all up to you to decide what to do. So what you do is just you find a comfortable position to either sit or lie down, but you want to be comfortable, but you also want to be, have a straight back, not rigid, but straight. You want to make sure you have length through the torso so that you're making room, for the breath to come into the lungs and to leave the lungs. So we're not sitting and collapsing, or if you're laying down, you want to lay straight on your back and opening up the chest and opening up the diaphragm area, which is right below your ribs. and allowing that to move and be free, okay, move and expand. So in that position of sitting or lying down in a not a rigid, but in a very comfortable but straight position, you want to open your mouth and you're going to inhale and exhale without stopping. It sounds like this. Hopefully that you heard that. And it's just, you know, you may find a little bit that, like when I was doing it, I did it for 45 minutes, which is, if you're not used to doing any kind of breath work, don't do that. But, you know, do it for maybe 30 seconds. Do it for a minute. Do it for however long is comfortable for you. Anytime you do any kind of breath work or meditation work or anything, really, anything new, start small. Low and slow is the game. That's what I always say. Low and slow. Go low and slow. Because you're breaking in, right? You're testing the waters. But also, it's no different than going to the gym. When you go to a gym, right, you don't go to the gym and it's the first time you've been to the gym in forever, or maybe it's your first time you've ever been to the gym at all. And you're not really, really worked out, or you're new to it, or, you know. So you don't go and you go, don't go pick up the $100 or $100 pound dumbbells and start doing biceps. You don't do that. You know, maybe you do biceps with no weight at all. Maybe you do biceps with 5 pounds, right? 2 pounds, whatever it is, what's comfortable for you that you can do at that time. And then as you, you know, you continue to go to the gym and you keep working out and you keep progressing through, you begin to increase your weight, right? And there's no difference. When I was a personal trainer, you know, I would develop a plan for a client and, you know, every 2 weeks we'd increase the weight. But we'd only increase the weight by 2.5 to 5 pounds, right? Depending on, you know, how they were doing. But most of the time is no more than 5 pounds. And that was every 2 weeks. So you always want to start slow and slow and allow your mind, in this case, when you're doing mental or you're doing meditations or you're doing breath work or you're doing, or even if you're doing, like some of the life coaching strategies that I use, and we're practicing these strategies so that you can use them on your own in difficult situations. But you don't, you start with less challenging situations to practice the tools. So you start less challenging and then you move into more challenging. You never just want to jump in. I mean, you can, but more than likely you could get hurt, which we don't want. Or you just go too far, too fast, and then you burn out, and then you don't do that. And a lot of people do that, right? They go to the gym, they give all they got, and they work out, they're, you know, work their butt off, and then they're so sore the next day, they don't go back to the gym. It's better to go low and slow and consistency and progression, right? Simple. Simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So you may just want to try this breathing if you want to try this breathing, if you feel this breathing is something that could benefit you or just want to give it a try and see what comes up. You know, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, whatever. Try it for 5 breaths total. That's it. Inhale and exhale as one set and try 5 sets of the breathing. If you like it, continue. You know, but be aware that there are some things, like if you continue for like 45 minutes, you might start to feel thirsty, you know, your mouth gets, throat gets dry. Take time, take sips of water. You may find that, you know, you want to take it slow because, you know, sometimes through breath work, if you're not used to it, it could cause headaches, it could cause tension to happen in the body, like muscular tension, you really just want to go slow, okay? So I really don't recommend, if you're listening to this, you want to try it. If you've never done it, do 5 sets of breath. That's if I were to recommend anything, which I'm not, but if I were to, that's what I would do. I would tell someone who is just beginning, no more than 5 sets, just test the waters, right? And then if you really want to get into breath work, you know, you might want to get with somebody who could teach you some breath work. You know, my goal is to start courses and get them out onto the internet. Right now I'm working in person, but eventually I will. Anyway, but the nice thing about that breath work is it just really starts to open up. Well, for me, I'll talk about for me, my heart a little bit. And a lot of different emotions came up, right? A lot of different emotions. And I accepted them, you know, and talked with them and got to just become aware of them. And when those, whenever I do breath work or meditation, you know, a lot of times people get turned off by doing anything like that because they're told, you know, make your mind silent and, you know, don't think and, you know, make sure that you're focusing on this and keep turning your mind back and keep turning your mind back. Here's what I want to say. I guess this is my big takeaway that I want to share with you. And because I think I could go in a lot of different places right now, but let me just keep it clear and keep it concise. If you start meditating or breath work or anything like that, it's okay for your mind to think. Your mind is going to do what your mind is going to do, right? Your heart, well, it beats, right? Your heart beats, your lungs, they breathe, right? And your mind, it thinks. So your mind, your brain is just doing what it's meant to do, what it was created to do. We don't want to beat it for what it's created to do. So how do you handle when thoughts, intrusive thoughts or thoughts, you know, that distract you come into your mind when you are meditating or doing breath work? You have a lot of different options, really. Well, not a lot, but you have quite a few different options. And allow them. Allow them. I'll say, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And if it's something that that's just kind of interfering a little bit, you'd say, oh, okay, I see you. And I imagine putting it up on a shelf. I imagine two things. If it's just a thought that I'm just coming in that's really doesn't have any purpose in my life, it's just kind of like, oh, that's kind of a random thought. Okay, then I will imagine it either floating away on a cloud or floating down a river and just letting it go. Just saying, hello, all right, thank you for sharing, and let it go. If it's a thought, especially if you're doing meditation or breath work or something like that, trying to quiet the mind a little bit, and you got a super big day ahead or you're coming off something, I do one of two things. One thing I'll do is if a thought pops in and I know it's something that I want to remember, I'll put it on, I imagine putting it on a shelf, saying, thank you, let me deal with you after my time right now, after I meditate, or let me deal with you after my breath work, right? And I just imagine sticking it in a shelf, or I imagine putting it in a bubble and just putting that bubble aside. So I'm saving it for later. Now, if I really know that I've got my mind is busy, and I don't feel like I can really calm it down to just breathe and just be, I'll put some post-it notes by my side. I love my post-it notes, I gotta tell you. And I'll take post-it notes and a pen. And if I'm meditating and if I'm breathing or doing something that I would like to just calm my mind down a bit more, but something keeps popping up, if it's something that's important, I'll just jot it down. You can learn to come in and out of your meditation, which is a very important skill, useful skill, to have as you learn to meditate, because you want to bring that mindfulness and that meditative, you know, calming energy throughout your day. And if you can learn to do that, then it just makes your day better, you know, in relationships and so forth, to be able to tune in to that meditative energy. And one way to learn how to do that is when you're meditating, you know, allowing yourself to come in and out of it. So one way is you come out, you jot it down, put it aside, and you go back into your meditation or your breath work. So, and the other thing though is that whatever thoughts that come into your head, don't judge yourself. Congratulate yourself. Because if you catch yourself kind of drifting into something that's kind of like, well, that's not where I was going, or that was not the intention of my meditation, right? If you have one, congratulate yourself because you just noticed it. You just became mindful and you were meditating and realized that you are no longer meditating. And so that's a moment of success, actually. So congratulate yourself for that. Also, understand that when we go to a place of meditation, when we bring our heart rate down and we're settling down and our breath and our breathing is slowing down and our mind is opening and our heart is opening, you know, answers could come. That's another reason why post-it notes might be good, especially if you're praying for something or you're seeking guidance. When you seek the guidance and you ask the questions and you go into a meditation, sometimes if it's you go into prayer and you pray and then you sit in meditation after the prayer, you know, that's when answers can come. And that's okay. That's wonderful. That's not just okay. But allow it. Jot it down. Jot it down. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to share, is that if you started doing any kind of meditation or any kind of breath work, don't be afraid or don't feel you're failing. I think that's what it is. A lot of people, I can't meditate. You can. I think there's not that. When people make things so legalistic that you have to do it this way, that's the problem. Everybody has their own way of meditating. Everybody has their own way of being. And what works for one person doesn't work for all people. You know, when I work with guided meditations in my group classes, you know, I say the word imagine, because not everybody visualizes. Some people imagine through kinesthetically. They can feel it in their body, right? So if I lead someone through a guided meditation, some people are very visual and they will see my guiding, right, where I'm guiding them. But some people will feel it. Some people will hear. Some people will, or just imagine, or some people see words, right? Or some, you know, so everyone has their own way of imagining. It isn't always visual. And I'm a very visual person, but not everyone is. And that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be a visual person to meditate. You can tune into your sense of, hearing, sense of feeling, right? It doesn't have to always be visual. So what I would suggest, let's get down to conclusion here, because I'm kind of rambling here. Sorry about that. But what I would suggest is that if you're new and you want to embark on any kind of breath work or any kind of meditation, go low and slow. Even if you start meditating, I would say no more than 2 minutes to begin. No more than 2 minutes. Allow thoughts to come, allow thoughts to go. Welcome them in and then set them off. Put them on a shelf. Let them flow down the river or through the clouds. Or put it down on a post-it note and go right back in to whatever you're doing. No judgment, just awareness, just acceptance. It's all part of you. You know, we accept who we are. We accept what we are. We accept the good. We accept the bad. When we come to a point of acceptance, then guess what? We can be free. And then all those things that we work so hard to stop and we work so hard to, you know, restrain and put away and they're no good and all this. And you know what? Those parts of us that we would like to see evolve into a higher part of who we are, the higher self, will happen. But it will happen through saying, I see you. I acknowledge you. You're here for a reason. Let's find out why. Right? So, love yourself. Accept yourself. Be aware. And allow. Allow your thoughts. Allow your mind. Allow your brain to do what it's meant to do, which is to think. It's okay. All right, I'm out of here. I'm just rambling and beating a dead horse. Anyway, have a great day. I'll let you know how, I'm not sure when I'll be posting, if I'll be posting on a daily basis or if I'll post a summary at the end of my first week. But either way, go ahead and make sure that you subscribe to my email list on my website, www.chariseparviz.com. I don't know why everybody says www, just chariseparviz.com. You already know it's www. And sign up for my newsletter. There's a lot of freebies on my website, as well as a Know Your Why, which is a wonderful exploration on why you want what you want, the real deep purpose of what will keep you driving to success towards your goal, whatever that is, finding out the real reason why you want it. Anyway, and I will post these on, trying to work out how to get these on Spotify, and we're figuring that out. But in the meantime, it will be on my website, and then I'll also post it on X as well. If you have any questions about what I'm saying, because I'm just, like I told you initially, I'm going off the cuff. It's just me and you chit-chatting, and I'm just sharing. I'm walking down my lane, and I'm just seeing you standing beside me, and we're just talking. Seems like I'm doing all the talking. You should talk more, but you should, because what I would love to for you to do is that if I say anything and you have questions on it or curiosities about it, because I'm not going to depth like I would if I was working with clients or so forth, I'm just giving you an overview. But if you have questions, please feel free to email me, contact@chariseparviz.com, and you can do it right from my website as well. All right. Have a beautiful day, and we'll chat soon. Bye-bye. Get out in the sun.